This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2332. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, especially shortwave. On this edition, recorded January 29th, Argentina, Brazil, Canada, Colombia, Cuba, Czechia, Ecuador, Germany, India, Indonesia, Iran, Korea North, Netherlands, North America, Russia, Spain, Taiwan, USA, Vanuatu, Vatican, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, I made another check of the Portuguese DX program from Ryan, Argentina. Atualidade de Xixe, relayed by WRMI 9455 northwestward toward me, Tuesday, January 27th at 2302 UT. Once again, listening carefully to the DX news, it turned out to be OLS. I traced several of the items to someone's report from over 3 years ago, and at least two or three stations mentioned were no longer on the air, so don't you believe DX OLS from that program. Since WWCR has been off the air from 5935, we no longer have its interference to Brazil's Rádio Voz Missionária on 5939.48. I heard that January 23rd at 0720. It's always off frequency from 5940. Gulfi Grima had reported that its engineer, Alvaro Barcelos, said the 5940 transmitter and antenna system has been technically revised and now powered by 10 kilowatts, resulting in a stronger signal. At 1190 kilohertz, January 28th at 0733 UT, I heard a station not IDing only as AM 1190, but then went on with local weather with a low of minus 21 and a high of minus 14, the only station which fits in the listings and for such cold temperatures is CFSL in Weyburn, Saskatchewan. Supposedly 5 kilowatts at night, all the signal going north. But don't you believe that, as many Canadian stations are letting their signals leak into the U.S. Another neat medium-wave catch was on 1309.67. Had a barely audible carrier January 23rd at 0757. The medium-wave offsets list says there is a station on 1309.676, La Voz de la Patria Celestial in Barranquilla, Colombia. That's HJAK. Such an offset frequency means it's certainly nothing else. And I'd also been hearing another station in Barranquilla earlier, off frequency about 1100.29. That is HJAT. Radio Havana Cuba's first English hour of the day at 20 UT is usually dead air. 11880 and 15140, such as on January 29th. One day I was not listening, January 25th, Terry Kruger in Florida says. They had great audio, they were modulating during that hour, and they were playing tracks by a radically politically charged black U.S. band from the late 1960s and 70s, The Last Poets, as the beginning of rap. There was a stern warning in advance about the lyrics, and there they were, loads of N-words and F-words. Last week we mentioned that Radio Bulgaria was issuing 90th anniversary QSL cards, and this week we announced that Radio Prague in the Czech Republic is also marking its 90th anniversary with special QSLs, according to their website via Mike Terry. RPI is celebrating 90 years to mark the anniversary, a new series of QSL cards among the most distinctive visual artifacts linked to the tradition of shortwave radio. Radio Prague has preserved the decades-long tradition of issuing QSL cards. Each year, a new series is created and sent out to listeners around the world. For the past 4 years, the visual design of the QSLs has been created by graphic designer Kristina Markova, who brings together tradition and contemporary visual language. She admits that before being approached, she knew nothing about this tradition. This year's anniversary series looks further back, drawing directly on the history of QSL cards themselves. 9 postcards, each representing one decade of RPI's Foreign Broadcasting. She picked out key elements from the past color schemes. Blue refers to Czech radio, orange-red evokes the national colors, and gold recalls the ceremonial nature of the anniversary. Of course, to hear Radio Prague now, you need to listen on shortwave via WRMI, such as 01UT on 5050, 9455, or 7780. The big blackout in Nashville opened several frequencies for medium wave DX. Terry Cougar in Florida was hearing on 1510 instead of WLAC, Radio Monumental in Quito, Ecuador, January 27th at 0713 with Monumental IDs, a long ad string voiced by the same guy with a slight reverb, and finally a nice pasillo and cumbia vocal. Thanks to tips from David Crawford, and then a few minutes later, from Mexico, XEPBGR, Super Stereo Milet in Guadalajara, at 0722 with romantic vocals. But WLAC was back on by 0832. Tony Pavic got some bad news from Germany's Channel 292 on January 29th. That morning, their transmitter for 3955 failed, and the frequency will not be on the air for some time. Programs booked on 3955 will have to wait until the transmitter is back, or arranged to be transmitted on one of their other frequencies, 6070 or 9670. Good news anyway, we put a new inverted V antenna on 6070 into operation, should deliver better results than the previous stretched dipole. Fortunately, that does not affect the Texas Radio Shortwave broadcast plan for February via Germany. On Saturday the 7th at 15 UT on 6160 and at 1900 on 3975 via the other station, Shortwave Radio Gold. And then on Sunday, February 8th at 1300 on 9670 to Europe and at 2300 on 9670 for North America from Channel 292. Programming is Texas Music Mix No. 1. Longtime BBC listeners will recognize the name of Mark Tully. Mike Hoover forwards a report from United News of India that Tully died in a private hospital in New Delhi on January 25th at the age of 90. Over the last six decades, Tully became one of the most trusted and recognizable chroniclers of India for generations of radio listeners. He served as chief of the BBC Bureau for 22 years and became a household name for his objective, in-depth, and authentic reporting. Mark Tully was born on October 24, 1935, in what was then Calcutta, to British parents, spent his earliest years in India before being sent to England for his education. But India never receded into the background of his imagination. In 1964, he returned as the BBC's India correspondent, beginning an association with a country that would shape the rest of his professional and personal life. To many Indians, he was not simply a foreign correspondent, but a powerful, friendly voice that sympathetically understood the country's contradictions without condescension. Ron Howard in California updates us on Indonesian short and medium wave. He heard RRI Nabiri, Program 1, on 7289.992, as measured by Wolfgang Büschel, January 26 at 0825 to 0932. Monitoring at the beach near Monterey. Easy listening songs and Islamic sounding songs. Switched over from 0933 to 927 for the Maghrib sunset call to prayer, but blocked by China after 0930. Then he was listening to the Voice of Indonesia English relay via WRMI 7780, January 26 from 0933 until 1000. Listening via remote in Bandung, he reports on the frequency changes there. RRI Bandung Program 4 was back on 540 kHz after a while on 999. It had been absent from both, but January 28th at 1235, they were back on 540 with a program of easy-listening Indonesian songs and frequent IDs. He says audio very much like heard on 7205, as it had frequent brief hiccups. Unlike the smooth audio of the stream of RRI Program 4. And as for 7205 RRI Program 3, January 28th after 1219 via the remote in Bandung, says audio much improved and sharper, but now with frequent brief hiccups. News in Bahasa Indonesia. End of the news with a very short portion of the patriotic song, For You, Our Country, at 12:26. Iran Non, here's another broadcast into Iran. Radio for Peace International, that station in Europe, which is not related to the old RFPI in Costa Rica. Ron Howard says on 15640, heard via remote in Saudi Arabia, January 25th, from 0503 until 0515, when it went off. This was tipped by Mauno Ritola on WRTH-FV. But what is the transmitter site? Well, looking at their website, I see that one of their transmission partners, although no specific information, is Spaceline in Bulgaria. And yes, of course, it is in Farsi or Persian. Via Alan Holder, Isle of Wight, here's an updated schedule for Radio Fardaw into Iran as of January 23rd. From Tashkent, 7500 at 1430 until 21 UT. From UAE, 13755 at 1430 until 17. From Wolverton, UK, 12005, 17 to 19. And 9515 at 19 to 20. And then 5875 from 20 to 21. Also on medium wave via Armenia, 1395 from 15 until 17 UT. Then on the 24th, he confirmed that all the Wolverton transmissions were on the air, but jamming only observed on 13755 and 7500 so far. Johannan in New Jersey said he had a good signal from Radio Fardaw on 12005 until closing at 1900. However, trying various remotes near Iran, Alan Holder could not hear them on 1395 medium wave, but Mount originally explains that the remotes in Baghdad and Kuwait and Qatar have problems. He is hearing it via his remote in Finland. Ron Howard reports on the clandestine National Unity Radio on 7235. That's of National Unification Broadcasting, the Unification Media Group, from Taiwan to North Korea. Monday, January 26th at 11:42, heard at the beach in California with the usual weekday quotation in English. This time it was, Believe you can and you're halfway there, attributed to Theodore Roosevelt. Netherlands, Walt Salmon of NBC reports on January 25th, hearing Radio Delta with a fair signal strength at 16:57 UT on 12005. But 10 seconds before 1700, there was a crash start of presumably Radio Fardaw via Wolverton, UK on the same frequency, quite strong, on 12005. Ben Cobb says the FCC has submitted its annual report on enforcement of the Preventing Illegal Radio Abuse Through Enforcement Act. Guess what? That spells P-I-R-A-T-E. He says the Pirate Act granted the commission authority to issue fines up to $2 million, now inflation adjusted to almost 2.5. It did not give the FCC power to collect the fines, nor did it require the agency to publicly report whether a fine was paid. In fiscal 2025, FCC issued 6 forfeiture orders and 10 notices of apparent liability for forfeiture for pirate radio broadcasting. It entered into 3 consent decree agreements with pirate radio operators, each with 20-year compliance plans. It issued 28 notices to property owners suspected of harboring pirate stations. None of these concern stations adjacent to the FM or AM bands, but apparently does not deal with shortwave whatsoever. And then he goes on to refute several FCC claims about pirates causing interference. The Pirate Mix Radio International has been on the air for hours and hours on frequencies it seems to have an affinity for being 5 kilohertz away from WWCR channels not in use, like 9975 USB. Eric Fetterswalp in Washington State was hearing these best via remotes further east. It's mostly music with only occasional announcements via remote in Tennessee. January 26th at 2032 onward, I was hearing MRI on 9974.96 USB, where the sideband sounded best. It went on and on and on. I was hearing it until it finally faded out or went off around 0150 UT, January 27th. Then the next afternoon it was on the air again, but on 12155 USB, January 27th at 2125, still going past midnight 18, January 28th. Once again, we were hearing it via remote in Maryland, January 29th on 12155 USB of 2015. Eric Fetterswalt points out that the waterfall image is carrying an ID spelling out Mix Radio International vertically along the right edge of the waterfall image. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2332, a non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Gary Drew on behalf of everyone at Laser International. Send a contribution via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO@yahoo.com. He says, many thanks for the regular programs of World of Radio and the legacy of archives online. Long may it continue. One may also contribute via money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. Russia, Dateline St. Petersburg via RustyX, Radio Maria on 1053 kHz, is back on the air. They've been on since 05 UT, January 19th, with a power of 10 kilowatts, according to Radio Priom and Telegram. Last week we observed that one of Spain's frequencies, 12030 for the Middle East, was broadcasting dead air, including the weekly Token English Wednesday, January 21st at 2300. Since then, random checks, it's still been dead air, including exactly 1 week later, during English Wednesday, January 28th at 2300, dead air on 12030. Is no one noticing at Novolecas? Fortunately, we don't really need it here, as 9690 for North America has remained functional. Taiwan and Nan. CBS News Sunday morning had an item on January 25th about Shenyun. That is a dance troupe which is touring North America. In fact, they're coming up in Oklahoma City. But Ron Howard comments, I cannot help but notice the massive advertising campaign for Shenyun performances in San Francisco. The advertisements were dramatic and colorful, but it's unfortunate that many people who attend do not realize the true nature of what is about to be presented. I would call Shenyun the propaganda arm of Falun Gong, or Falun Dafa. There are many negative reviews of this, some people walking out during the performance, for example at TripAdvisor.com. The dances have nothing to do with Chinese traditions. They promote a religious group. A lot of propaganda for their cult, which overshadowed the dance. Why is this pertinent here? Because it's also related to Sound of Hope, the multi-frequency, low-power clandestine Indochina. Bill Tilford points out that the Epoch Times newspaper is also operated by Falun Gong affiliates. And Ben Cobb says Sound of Hope is also connected with U.S. Chinese radio stations. These are all very low power, from 18 to 100 watts. WQER in Gaithersburg, Maryland. WQEG in Chicago. And KQEB in San Francisco. Presumably USA, 8992 USB is one of the frequencies where cryptographic messages are broadcast on a regular basis, presumably from the U.S. Air Force, perhaps as a training exercise. We have no idea what the messages actually contain. But they have a different tactical ID each time. January 23rd at 1522, it sounded like Space Run. And then at 2107, was it Base Run? January 28th at 1941, this is Analytic Out. NASA, Jerry Linneman in Waco says, I was surprised to hear the Coast Guard weather broadcast at 2230 UT, January 23rd on 13809 USB rather than 13089. That is apparently a punch-up error. He says, I'm surprised the frequency selection is not programmed automatically from HQ. USGS website calls the location Point Reyes. Mike Hoover forwards a January 27th story from the Baltimore Sun. A former Voice of America employee accused of threatening to kill former U.S. Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene pleaded guilty to anonymous telecommunications harassment and threatening to kidnap or injure across state lines. Seth Jason, 64, has a sentencing hearing scheduled for June 18th. He faces up to 7 years in prison after making threatening calls to Green's district offices. Investigators said Jason made calls from various phone lines connected to his then workplace, the Washington, D.C. HQ of VOA, where he worked as a studio supervisor and lighting director, indicted in July on 4 charges. About the revived Korean language broadcasts from Voice of America, or is it Voice of Trump, which are at 1530 UT on 9310 via Philippines. These comments from Tony Pavic, NBC. I monitored it today. What a waste of electricity. Obviously, Carrie Lake is just having people mail it in. What a joke. It's ludicrous to repeat the same twaddle of a 10-minute newscast 3 times. The news itself was far from substantial. They mentioned Marco Rubio, Steve Witkoff, and Jared Kushner. Obviously nothing about Minneapolis. I can't imagine what the morale is of anyone working at VOA Korean, and VOA in general. It's got to be pretty poor. And then he provides a recording of that full half hour, if you can stand it, and translate it via software. Meanwhile, Radio Free Asia has also resumed Korean broadcast on a token basis on 9900 kHz via Taiwan. Since January 27th, there's been conflicting information about the timing. Apparently they were undecided and were trying different times. At first reported from the Northeast Asian Broadcasting Institute as 13 to 1315 UT. And then it was at 14 UT. Mauna Ridla says, I think it's only on Tuesdays and Thursdays. On Thursday, January 29th, Joe Hannon in New Jersey, monitoring remotes, had it yet another time, signing on at 1330 with an RFA ID in English and then Korean news on 9900 via Taiwan. In Lebanon, Tennessee, WTWW has not suffered a protracted power outage, but one of the transmitters is still not working, the one on 5085. Still active with the Brother Stair service on 9930 in the daytime and 5920 at night. But the ice storm and huge blackout in Nashville has affected WWCR. As of January 29th, it's been totally off the air since January 25th. They were apparently anticipating such a problem, as the final recorded Ask WWCR can be heard on the website as of January 24th. Just as power lines can be downed by icing, so can rhombic antennas. WRMI also had some problems, some of the frequencies missing for a while, and some of the 5850 programming was transferred to 5950, apparently still on the same northwestward antennas as it was stronger than usual here, as Tony Pavic also noted. Via Mike Terry, InsideRadio.com reported January 26th that 9 U.S. radio stations were off the air after a winter storm cut across the country. Well, it was far more than 9. Meanwhile, since January 27th, WRNO New Orleans has been running very late. 7505 past 07 UT, as heard by myself and Ron Howard, Danino Marabello in Italy, and on the 28th, Tony Rogers in the UK was still hearing it at 0840. The Courtesy Programs Committee has arranged 3 6-hour special medium-wave DX tests from 1 kilowatt stations in California, 1 each night for 3 nights in a row. Here are the details. On Friday, February 6th, KTOX 1340 in Needles, California. That's from midnight to 6 a.m. Pacific, or 08 to 14 UT. Same time for the others. On Saturday, February 7th, 1340 KTPI in Mojave, California. And on Sunday, February 8th, 1310 KKZI in Barstow, California. The test material is Morse code, sweep tones, and a few other noises to cut through the mud. Reports with very brief MP3 recordings must be sent by email only to this address, qsl@w6tox.com. Mike Cooper Ford's a New York Times story of January 26th. Public media holds its apocalypse at bay for now. Though Congress cut $500 million from NPR and PBS stations, vanishingly few have closed their doors. Angst about their long-term future remains, writes Benjamin Mullen, with examples of several stations which have managed to raise considerable funding locally at least to keep them going for the time being, such as KCAW in Sitka, Alaska, KWMR, Point Reyes, California. WPSU at Penn State was expecting to close, but it's made an arrangement with WHYY in Philadelphia to continue. In Northwest Florida, Terry Kruger reports, an NID apparent pirate on 1710 kHz. 19 January at 0837 UT, very poor, barely audible. Probably Album Rock Radio in Birmingham, Alabama, as discovered by Ike Bierwirth some time ago. Somewhat better, January 22nd at 0648, with some threshold audio of music, but too weak. Vanuatu, Ron Howard says, 5040. January 24th, it was audible via remote in New Zealand, apparently coming on at 0658 UT. But what frequency is Radio Vanuatu on before that time, it's not been found. I'm also hearing a JBA carrier after 07 on 5040. About Vatican Radio being heard on 846 kHz in Rome, Johnny Serra says this has been confirmed as coming from a station with 10 watts, according to italradio.org. Bob Bierman sent me some comments, not about politics or religion, but about shortwave. He says, the biggest challenge facing shortwave is the combination of aging equipment and aging engineers. At 71, I am young. In addition, there are now only 4 shortwave transmitters manufacturers left in the world, and only 1 in the Western Hemisphere. I'm hearing that Continental is going through major changes. If you order a new transmitter, they are 7 figures and a 3-year wait. Sadly, most domestic shortwave stations are on a shoestring, so they cannot afford anything new. These comments from Joe Hanlon in New Jersey. The XH Data D219 receiver has become popular because of its low cost, $10, and its performance on shortwave for an ultralight radio. Some years ago, there was an organization called Ears to Our World about donating shortwave receivers to classrooms in developing countries. This project ended in 2019. Back then, students in African countries learned about news and culture through Grundig wind-up radios, thanks to ETOW. If any person or organization were to help those in need have access to a radio to learn about the world around them, then the D219 in a 9 kHz version with packs of AA batteries would be a perfect fit for them. Not just to keep them informed, but to introduce them to a great hobby and the opportunity to learn about other countries, cultures, and languages. It's about an updated, low-priced receiver with digital signal processing that can provide the access to news, music, and other info those in the developing world need. The Propagation Outlook from SWPC, issued January 26th. Geomagnetic field likely to reach G1 minor storm levels February 13th. Active periods likely on February 4th, 5th, and 14th to 21st. ANK indices peaking at 15 and 4 on February 4th, 20 and 5 on the 13th, and then 15 and 4 continuing from the 14th to 21st. Quietest dates of only 5 and 2, February 1st to 3rd, and 12th. Solar flux rising from a low of 120 February 1st to a peak of 180 by February 18th. For much more info, consult our website, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our stations and contributors. Hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser here concluding World of Radio 2332 with a standard disclaimer.